welcome to the Yoga Focus podcast. I'm Laura Gellner, a yoga therapist, occupational therapist, and the owner of Focused Wellness Therapeutics. I provide one-on-one yoga therapy sessions, small group therapeutic yoga, and online education for yoga teachers that is rooted in science. For more information, check out my website, lauragyoga.com. Hey everyone, I'm Laura. We are working on this series talking about Deep Dive into Yoga, which is this PDF ebook that I've created to help you go deeper into your yoga practice. So today we're talking about healthy boundaries for regular practice. And this was actually something that I added into the PDF. As I was working through the videos, I felt like there was something missing. And I went back and I added this page in. And if you haven't downloaded the PDF already, then you can go over to my website, lauragyoga.com. And when you sign up for my newsletter, you will immediately get an email that has the PDF download for Deep Dive into Yoga, so you can follow along with me. But what I wanted to talk about is one of the most common questions that I get, and really something that I struggle with myself because I feel like this is such a common issue, and that is the process of getting a regular home practice. And it really kind of boils down to starting any lifestyle change or creating any sort of consistent lifestyle habit that you are trying to create, whether it's going to the gym, getting on your yoga mat regularly, eating well, starting a regular meditation practice. There are challenges with all of those things. And one of the main challenges that I think this boils down to is our boundaries with ourselves and our boundaries with our time. And this is a topic that I love to talk about because I feel like when we start to recognize how to set healthy boundaries, it is a way to protect our energy. So when we have healthy boundaries, we get to decide what happens with our time. We get to decide where our energy is going throughout the day. And if you make that decision or you come to that realization that, hey, I am not doing a good job of taking care of myself, and I think to make improvements in that category, I need to get on my yoga mat for about 20 minutes at least 3 times a week, or whatever time frame you feel like is doable. Really carving that out and sticking with it comes down to how you are working with your boundaries, with yourself, with your family, with your job, with all the other responsibilities in your life to say, hey, this is really important to me and I'm going to make sure that it happens. It's kind of a different way of thinking about boundaries. A lot of times we think about boundaries in relationships, and we can also think about boundaries with ourselves, that if we say that we're going to respect a certain rule, that we actually stick with it as a way of showing respect for yourself. So very interesting thing to kind of dive deeper into to learn more about your relationship with yourself and how you are treating yourself right now. But here's a few of my tips on how to maintain those healthy boundaries. And the first one is turning off notifications, because it's no secret that we are quite distractible, right? Most people have a lot of difficulty concentrating. So if your phone is dinging or something pops up on your computer or the phone rings, those are things that are immediately going to pull your attention to, oh, is that somebody who really needs to talk to me right now? Do I need to go do something else? Make sure that you put your phone on airplane mode, or I have a blocking thing that turns on my phone, so no notifications will go through during that time that I've blocked out to do my yoga practice or to do my meditation practice. And I try to keep it as a somewhat regular time. I have to be a little bit flexible with my schedule, but consistency is important for me, right? Habit really will get stronger when you have a consistent schedule. Humans are creatures of habit. So having that designated time where all of your notifications turn off, and people need to be respectful of the fact that that is your time and they can't be bothering you with other things. Now, if you're like an emergency room doctor or you're on call for something really important, You can set the notifications that emergency calls will be able to get through and get notifications. But unless you have something that is like really, truly life and death, super important, you cannot wait 15 or 20 minutes to get back to it, then, you know, you can figure out that situation based on your personal circumstances. But for most of us, we can turn off the notifications on our phone for 20 minutes or half an hour and nothing catastrophic is going to happen. So the next thing is setting a timer. And this is very helpful to kind of carve out that time and to give yourself a break from looking at your watch. For me, this is a big thing because when I'm at work, I am constantly aware of time. It is something that I have to do, like time management, whether I'm teaching yoga or whether I'm at work seeing patients, I have to be extremely mindful of time because my scheduling is tight. If I run over, I am encroaching on somebody else's time, and I really try not to do that. So setting a timer, and actually you will sometimes hear my watch beep. My watch beeps on the hour and it's about 3 minutes ahead. So I always know 3 minutes ahead of when I'm getting ready for a transition. That is super helpful to me to keep my day organized and kind of blocks my day into hours. So setting a timer, whether it's on your watch or on your phone, as long as you're not going to get distracted by apps and notifications, if you can use a timer to carve out that time and kind of bookend it so that you don't have to look at the clock and think about time, because that really is such a great thing to give yourself a break from if you're somebody who normally has to like live and die by the clock like so many of us do. I use the app called Insight Timer. It's a free app. You can change the bell so that it has different tones of singing bells and chimes and things like that. I really love it. I use it for my meditation practice, but if I want to carve out 15 minutes for me to do a little bit of yoga, I will also use it as a timer for that. Very helpful. Okay, write it into your schedule or your to-do list with priority. So this kind of goes along with the idea of figuring out what your boundaries are with yourself, but also kind of how you distribute your energy. Are you giving your energy to everybody else first, or are you keeping yourself on the top of the priority list? And this is kind of a tricky thing for a lot of people because we feel like if we put ourselves first, we are being selfish, we are not being selfless and generous. But the reality is that you can still be generous with your time and your energy. You can actually be more generous with your time and your energy when you do a good job of taking care of yourself, because there's that kind of cliche that you can't pour out of an empty cup, or that if you were on the airplane, you have to put your own oxygen mask on first, or you're going to pass out and you're not going to be able to help anybody else. So those are kind of the extreme examples, but it is absolutely true. If you are constantly grinding and wearing yourself down, at some point in the future, it may be soon or it may be years down the road, but your body is going to start to say no because you've constantly been depleting it. So put your practice time, your meditation time, your walk, your gym time, whatever it is that really feeds and supports you. In this context, we're talking about your yoga practice, but you could really apply this to anything. Put that as a priority in terms of your energy and your time. All right, so the next one is tell your family or whoever you live with, whoever might be trying to contact you on the phone, that there are certain times during the day where it's do not disturb. This is a challenging one for me because I live in a tiny house. My house is 192 square feet. It's an open floor plan, so there's no physical distinction between the different rooms. So if my husband is home and my dog is always here, it's hard to get physical space. But I have a couple tricks that I'll talk about of how I still make it work and how we kind of respect each other's boundaries, because he will take time out to meditate
or to do some sort of practice that he needs to do, and I do the same thing. And we have this understanding, we've kind of laid out these ground rules that when we decide that we need that time, that we don't bother the other person, unless it's like a real emergency, but that's hopefully not very often. So we really respect that the other person needs that time within their day. Make sure that your kids understand that. I think it's a great way for them to learn the habit of carving out time to take care of themselves, because you're really modeling that behavior for them. So make sure everybody else in your household or whoever is going to be trying to contact you understands that when you are doing your practice, it's a do not disturb time. Okay. So this I kind of talked about a little bit already in terms of giving energy and time to yourself before giving it to others. And this can be really an ongoing process that helps you to reflect so much on your relationship with yourself. And I keep thinking that the next ebook that I'm going to write is going to be about how we use yoga to cultivate this better relationship with ourselves, because I see it as one of the most important and most fundamental things that we can gain from having a regular yoga practice, is figuring out where our energy is going and making sure that we're using enough of that energy to take good care of ourselves so that we can then share the gifts that we have with the world. We can then share our extra energy with our family and our coworkers and the people that we serve. If we don't give ourselves the time and the energy, we are going to break down, we are going to get depleted, and then we will have nothing to give. So it's kind of like a long-term mindset of, I take care of myself today so that I will have something to give tomorrow and the next day and the next day. All right, so the next one is my main trick, and actually I have my headphones right here. So because I live in such a small space and there's not a lot of personal room, I can't go and lock myself in another room to meditate. When I need to concentrate and kind of go in, I need to block out external input, and sound is something that I find really distracting. So I put headphones on, and my husband knows if I have my headphones on and I'm listening, I'm usually listening to like yoga music, kirtan, chanting, that sort of thing. That's my meditation time. That's me taking care of myself. Maybe I was feeling off and I needed some time to re-regulate. He recognizes the fact that when I have my headphones on, that he's going to let me have that time. So that might be something that is helpful for you if you have a really busy household, and kind of make it known, like, when I have these headphones on, that's the do not disturb time. I'm doing my practice. I'm taking care of myself. When they come off, then you can ask me the questions and, you know, have me find or do whatever you needed. But when the headphones are on, that's my time. Okay, so the next one is leaving physical reminders of your practice. When I talk to people about any sort of habit, whether it's exercise or walking or eating well, the things that you physically see in your environment are going to have an impact on your thought process. And then your thought process is going to have an impact on what you actually do, what your habits become. So if there's some sort of activity that you are trying to participate in more frequently, I recommend leaving something out. It could be a post-it note that just has a little reminder on it. It could be leaving your running shoes out. It could be leaving your yoga mat there. Something that you're going to see, and that's going to trigger that thought of, oh, yoga practice. Oh, go for a walk. Because if you put all those things out into a closet, it's probably going to be out of sight and out of mind. I will say that as humans, we habituate to things really quickly. So if there's something in our environment and it's always in the same spot, we will tend to kind of glaze over and not notice it. But if that thing moves or changes, like if I have a reminder post-it note, I'll try to put it in different places. Sometimes it's on the bathroom mirror, sometimes it's on the fridge, sometimes it's in my car, so that it's in different places. And then your brain is a little bit more tuned into that novel stimulation of, oh, it's in a different spot, so I'm going to notice it more. If it's always in the same spot, you're probably going to start ignoring it. So just keep that in mind. That's something that works really well for certain people, leaving out something you're going to see to have a physical reminder. Okay, and then the last one is to invite other people to join you in your practice, making it a group experience. And this will depend on your living situation and your family and all that kind of stuff. But if there's somebody around you that you think might want to join you in your yoga practice, in your meditation practice, in your daily walk, or whatever it might be, invite them to join you as long as they're joining respectfully and they're not going to distract you or, cause a ruckus in the background while you're trying to meditate. It might be your kids, it might be your spouse, but if you have somebody else who's involved in that experience with you, it can be a great way to create regular participation. So my husband and I go to the gym together, not always, but a lot of times we will go to the gym at the same time. We don't do anything close to the same workout. Like, we walk in the door, he goes his way, I go my way. We have about 45 minutes to an hour that we can each do whatever we want in the gym, and then we meet back up and we go home. And just the fact that we drive together, if one of us is really tired and we're like, oh, I just don't feel like going to the gym today, seeing the other person getting dressed, even if they don't say anything, I'll be sitting on the couch and I see Pat lacing up his shoes and I'll be like, okay, I'll get up, I'll go. Even though I'm really tired, I'm going to make it happen because I know I'm going to feel better in an hour. And the same thing happens with yoga. So if you see that other person in the household grabbing their mat or sitting on their meditation cushion, you're going to be like, okay, if they can carve out that time, I can do it too. And it works the opposite way. Sometimes Pat's on the couch and I'm like, come on, let's go to the gym. I know you're tired, but you're going to feel better in an hour. You're going to be glad that you did your workout. So having other people around you that are participating in those same healthy activities is going to have this ripple effect through your household. And it also brings in that whole effect of doing something together, helping to create stronger bonds with the people who are around you. And then sometimes you get to share those experiences with people, which I feel like is really a great thing. That, you know, I can talk to Patrick sometimes about what kind of meditation practice he did. He did a pranayama practice the other day and he was telling me about it. So it becomes this interesting topic of conversation outside of when you're practicing. But I feel like it really helps to foster regular practice, because the truth of the matter is nobody feels like doing it all the time. We all need a little bit of help, a little bit of encouragement, quite often. So these are some of the things that you can do to protect your energy, to set up healthy boundaries that are going to then be supportive of you making those changes and taking steps in the direction that you want to. But it really comes down to figuring out where your energy and your effort is being directed and practicing those internal skills and the relationship with yourself that's going to actually create a solid foundation that those habits then can then be built on top of. So thinking about some of those things within your life to see how they can be supportive. All right, what is the next one? Taking yoga off the mat. All right, I will see you in the next one.
Thank you for being here on the Yoga Focus podcast. I'm Laura Gellner. If you would like to stay connected to more yoga resources, you can follow me on Instagram at Laura G Yoga. I have many YouTube videos at Laura Gellner, The Yoga Focus Method, and you can find links to my book, Yoga Therapy at the Wall, and all of my online courses at my website, lauragyoga.com. Thanks so much for being here.